Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Therapy sucks, or so you thought. I know it can be a little bit awkward having to make the appointment, having to go visit someone, sit down, take time out of your day. And as busy as we all are, I can understand it seems like impossible to do so. Fortunately for us at The Coffee Breakup, we're sponsored by BetterHelp. And with BetterHelp, you literally have access to a therapist at your fingertips. Coolest thing about them, literally, you sign up, create a profile, they'll match you with a therapist that's pretty much going to be with exactly what you're looking for. So how important is it with mental health? I mean, we got stressed throughout the day, whether it's work, life, your partner, whatever it may be. BetterHelp, you're able to have access to actually talk to someone about your problems that can really guide you in the right direction. I don't know about you, that's pretty important if you want to actually have like a normal life or anything, just saying. Coolest thing about us, you know, it is 10% off for all the Coffee Breakup listeners for your first month. So sign up now at betterhelp.com/thecoffeebreakup. Again, that's 10% off for your first entire month. Literally no excuse. Check out for your mental health today. Later.
What's up, everybody?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Coffee Breakup Podcast with
one and only Alpha King.
How are you doing, sir?
Baby.
Hey man, happy to be back, man. It's like coming back home. We're all in Miami. We're just down the street from each other, you know.
Sounds good, brother. We're glad to have you back, man. A lot sooner than we thought we would have you back on, but we're not complaining for sure. Glad to have you on.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
What's been going on? I guess after the last time we spoke a few months ago, you had gone back to Germany to your family, or what do you
mean? Yeah, went back to Germany. Now I'm back here in the United States, back here in Miami, pretty much for a few weeks. And then, that's it, man. You know, we got some interesting things going on now, huh? Since we last talked.
Yeah.
It's like a new world.
There, literally, yeah. There's so much going on. Almost overwhelming, especially with the holidays. Kind of crazy, like with our economy, the housing market. You have what's going on in Israel, and like there's just so much, you know. It could be overwhelming for some people. So, I guess it's glad to have you back on, and kind of we can maybe talk about certain topics if you have something in mind that you wanted to share with us, or you know,
it's interesting. You lived in Germany before, right, Marvin?
Yeah, of course. I grew up there. I moved there went to the States when I was 16. So.
Moved to 16, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting when you mention Israel because here in the United States, there's not really a big Middle Eastern community, you know, compared to Germany, right?
Compared
to Europe. So I feel like their perception of what's happened in Israel is not the same as just like on average, like the average person on the street, like the way they look at Israel and the way the average person in the United States might look at Israel. It's not necessarily the same just because of the demographics.
Sure. Know? Yeah. Yeah. So how is it over there? Like, what's the climate like over in Germany?
Yeah. I mean, Olaf Scholz, the chancellor of Germany, he went to Israel. Okay. And as soon as he came back, he was like, we're going to do mass deportations of the illegal migrants in our country. And now when you see what happened in like the Netherlands,
Ireland.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
No, I just think that like in the United States, like there's people who hate, you know, clearly they hate Jewish people. So they'll say, well, it's the Jewish people who promoted the migrants in Europe, or the attacks happen. Well, that's because the Jewish people found a way to get the migrants there to promote them hurting the Europeans. But the reality is that I live in Germany, bro. I'm, you know, I barely see any Jewish people in Germany. You know what I'm saying? Like I barely see Jewish people in Germany. There's not really that many Jewish people in Europe. I mean, you know, after the World War, I mean, a lot of them left, you know, but there's a big Middle Eastern community. And
that is for sure. Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of hostility. I think it's a lot of a culture, you know, clashes, you know, here in the United States, you don't have that big of a Middle Eastern community. Here you have African-Americans and Hispanics being the largest, right?
Sure.
You just don't have, in Germany, I rarely will see a Hispanic person or an African person. It's just, not that often. It's exotic when you see someone like you, you know what I mean?
What's out there then? What's out there? What's in Germany then? What do you see out there? Like,
I mean, you either see Germans or you might see like a Middle Eastern guy like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have a lot of Turkish people there and people from Iran and I mean all over, you know. Like I remember when I was there, like people in my class, a lot of people there were like most of them were Turkish. A lot of Turkish people and Hispanics. I don't think I may have met one Hispanic when I was living in Germany.
Really?
Yeah. And if so, they were probably like Mexican or something.
What?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Who's from, let's say, I don't know, Puerto Rico or whatever, would move to Germany? It's just a very specific place to move to when you live talking about, you know, from this region in South America, you know?
I mean, you two would be popular, man. Two guys, first of all, just like you guys don't look like, you know, you're from there. And I know, Marvin, you're mixed, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying. You two just have a unique.
No, place. For sure. Yeah, you know? We definitely stand out.
You know, and then also you live in Miami. I mean, that's just like, bruh, like you're American, you live in Miami, and you got that ethnic mix that's unique. I mean, in Germany, it just sticks out. Like, you know, it just sticks out.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, Marvin, maybe we got to go international, head over to Germany and do a couple of episodes. Right?
We'll visit Nima in fucking Germany.
Yeah, man.
Maybe we'll do it.
We definitely should.
I would love for you guys to visit me, man. We watch some soccer together. I'll take you to soccer game, man.
For sure. So how long are you in town for?
I'm here for a few weeks, man.
Okay.
I'm here for a few weeks. Maybe, you know, around New Year's probably. Possibly, I would say around.
And is your family in the States as well, or are they back in Germany?
A lot of them are in Germany. But
your daughter and your wife is what I mean.
My daughter and my wife are here. And my daughter,
sure.
My wife's upstairs. Yeah, I mean, but watching her German soap operas and stuff like that.
Man, so I know originally when I think you had brought up, you texted us, and you were like, well, not originally, but like the other day, you wanted to talk about the whole Matt Rife thing and kind of his shit's been kind of going viral this week. And Chris and I talked about it a little bit, like. He was very popular over the pandemic and his crowd work and kind of he blew up on TikTok and social media. And I guess he just had his first Netflix special and that opening joke that where people say domestic violence and people took it the wrong way, perhaps, or they just didn't like the joke. I know you had some thoughts about that. I personally don't think he's a comedian, you know, you'll say inappropriate stuff and it's a joke. I didn't think it was funny, but I also don't think that he deserves the backlash. I just didn't think it was funny.
You just didn't think you thought it was corny.
Yeah. Like it's just like a funny joke to make. Like, it's just like, it's just redundant. Like the joke, like, oh, you know, fuck, if you do what a man's supposed to do, then he doesn't have to fucking knock you out. Like, you know, it's been said 1,000 times. So I didn't really think anything of it, but I also don't think like he needs to be canceled or whatever, which is kind of, we've talked about it, like with this, the world that we live in, people want to just come after you for the slightest thing. And up until very recently, it was kind of like an unwritten rule for comedians to be immune to that. You know, they could say what they want because they're comedians, you know, they're supposed to make people laugh. There's dark humor and you can say some fucked up stuff and people are like, oh shit, it's fucked up, but it's still funny. Like, you know, but you know, it's humor. You know, you might say, well, it's pretty dark, but at the end of the day, it's a joke. It's not serious. So now people can't even say jokes anymore because people just take it the wrong way, or they're like, you know, call you all kinds of names. So what do you think about that? What do you think about the direction that, this is heading, or where we are right now at this point anyways?
Well, I don't think he's going to necessarily get canceled, do you?
I don't think so. I think it's going to blow over. Like, I think, Chris, what do you think?
But you guys think that it's probably trying to, like, some theories behind maybe he's trying to hide something, or they're just using him for attention to hide something else or something? I don't know, what do you, but you got something on your mind, man. What's bothering you? let's scratch that itch, bro.
Oh, that's funny, man. Nah, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, I would say subpar comedian Matt Rife is now getting canceled, or tried to be, right? It's a great example of the importance of self-awareness. Matt's good looking for a lesbian. And that's the only reason he got so far and so successful in his craft. I feel like a lot of women nowadays like men that look and act like women. So Matt flourished. But in this new Netflix, it seems like, I don't know, you know, he did a distasteful joke towards women. And that's like the only group of people that find his comedy bearable. So now they're trying to cancel him. And his, you know, chiseled feminine features can't save him. That's actually Alpha King rule number 725. Alpha King rule number 725. Practice self-awareness.
I like that.
I mean, like that one. Now that you say the picture that I just pulled up, I mean, he does look.
Can you show us?
I don't know how I would show it to you guys. Should I just flip the camera? Let me see. Or can I show something?
You should be able to.
What about here? Can I?
Share. There should be a share button on the bottom. Share your screen.
Oh, okay. Let me see. It? Yeah. Let's see if I can pull that up. There we go. Okay. Now I got the picture. Share.
The suspense screen. Is killing me, dude.
Let me see. It doesn't let me. Oh, here, no.
Oh, I'd rather you keep this all in.
Can you guys see it?
No.
No? See you.
Dude, your face, I
can't. No, it's not working. I just flipped the camera. Fuck that. Do it. You got it ready? Okay.
This guy.
Dude, he kind of looks like a lesbian right there. What the fuck? That's a wild picture, dude. Oh, I don't know. Shit.
Oh, man.
So he looks kind of, yeah, like a lesbian a little bit.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think, yeah, he was kind of hyped up a little bit with his good-looking features as a lesbian. Yeah, no, with the whole Netflix special, I don't know. I don't think he's really going to get canceled. I honestly think that this is going to blow over because he's a comedian. I feel like if anyone else, like if Donald Trump were to go out and say something like that, it would be headlines. Everyone would be talking about it. Every Instagram would repost. TikTok would be all over the place. But because it's him and he's a comedian, sure, he'll get some backlash. But I don't know if he's going to get canceled. You think?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll blow over. People forget. And then he'll end up at a different special or he'll do another gig. And that's it, dude. I don't know. I think comedians should have free range on what they could say and what they cannot say. You know, I don't know. Or you think, is there a line, Nemo? You think there's a line where like, hey, even comedians shouldn't cross that? Or you feel like it's all up for grabs?
I mean, I feel like the LGBTQ community has an immense amount of support. And I commend them for how far they've come. Now you have this new trans comedian who actually just surpassed 100 million tickets this year. Right, I think his name is Matt Rife.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, or something like that. And it's, you know, it's half man, half lesbian, with feminine body movements and subpar jokes. But it has an immense amount of support, and that's led to his recent success. You know, that's actually Alpha King rule number 721. You don't need a dick to be successful in today's society. So don't ever count anyone out.
That's well said, because I mean, well, this guy, because this guy has really came from nothing. Like within 3 years, 2 years, he fucking like this. But then he did say that he was like fucking posting content for what, years? He's like for nonstop years and years and years was grinding, and then until kind of until it clicked. So at this point, I guess he's as big as he'll get.
Nima, I feel like you know something. Is he? You really think he's a transgender?
It's hard, man. I mean, you know, if the foot fits in the shoe, bro. Like, look at him. Like, is it a stretch? It's a stretch, bro. It's not a stretch to imagine. You know, to imagine.
He does look a little fruity. For sure.
How's the first time I even heard of him, Nima?
I heard of him from a guy actually in Miami. And he's like, you got to look at this dude, Matt Rife. But, you know, Matt Rife really panders to women, you know. And I feel like TikTok promoted him because there was a group of creators that got banned, including me.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like Andrew Tate got banned. And then I feel like they silence blocked all those creators. And then what they did is they brought in Matt Rife. You know, they did their defense and then offense. They bring in Matt Rife and they blow
up.
Yeah, bro. They gave him like 10 billion views or something. You know what I'm saying?
So you think this was done like strategically? To what? To like kind of take the eyes off of you guys, to like get the attention off of you guys and what you guys were saying, to then shift that to that?
Yeah, I mean, they hated the popularity of what, you know, even I lost my account, you know. So I'm just saying, like, they hate the popularity that we had for masculine comedy. So they basically now are trying to indoctrinate and make men be forced to like this, you know, tranny male comedy. And I just don't think a lot of men do, and a lot of men don't. And that's the truth. A lot of men don't, you know.
So,
and you could tell, because once he made a joke against women, so many people got upset. And that just goes to show you that he was, in fact, the real story there to me is that he was, in fact, pandering to women. And, you know, that's, again, they want men to act like women and to look like women. It's dark. It's pretty dark, man, when you think about it. Other than Theo Von, there's not really a comedian on TikTok that gets away with it. You know, other than Andrew Scholes, Theo Von are like the only ones that get away with it.
So what is masculine comedy? Is that what you're talking about? Like Andrew Schultz and Viotan? Like those are like, because masculine, isn't it just comedy? Like it shouldn't it surpass? Or I mean, I know Chris, you're a little bit more into comedy. I know you've gotten to like stand up.
Yeah, but like Rogan would say some shit. There was another guy, some blonde fat gay guy. What's his name? Let me look him up. Gay comedian. Let me see. What's his name? Like, I can't find him now.
He's gay and fat?
He's let me look him up. Blonde, gay, fat comedian.
Bill Burr?
No, I can't. Man, I can't find him right now. Dude, no, but there's like some comedians that they really, like, I don't want to say they risk it all, but I just feel like they're able to get away with certain things, or maybe they'll probably cater more towards things that they can get away with. I think the problem that, anyway, you're bringing up is that Matt Rife, he was there trying to win them, trying to like get that like, oh, women power, tranny power, LGBTQ power. And it's like, oh, now that you're saying something that's bringing women down, it's like, oh, you see, like, obviously that's what you were here for. Like, you're not meant for these type of jokes, unless he's probably trying to test the waters to continue doing so.
But also, like, he's working his strengths. Like, I'm sure his team told him, no, you do very well with women. When he was doing those shows and the crowd work, he was flirting with women. He's charismatic. They see that, obviously, the audience is mostly women. You go to his shows, you would see videos, and they're just fucking 90% women, you know? And so they're probably telling him, do work with what you got. And I mean, at the end of the day, it kind of makes sense, dude. Like, if fucking women love your shit, you gotta fucking cater to women.
Yeah,
I mean,
but I don't hate him for that. Soft shit. It's the soft shit that he was peddling, right, Nima?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know what it is. I think you're both right. You know, it's the idea that how come Chris can't see a comedian that a lot of men like. Like, what's one comedian that you say 90% of the audience are women? Well, what's a comedian who has 90% men that's popular, that's equally popular? It doesn't exist, right? You would think in a big population that you would also, if you have one, you would have another, but you don't. And I think that's because of indoctrination. I think that's because they're controlling. I think that's because it's intentional. The guys that were able, like, I guarantee you my engagement per view is generally as strong as Matt Rife. And I can show it, but I get my account completely banned and he's getting fucking 8 billion views. You know what I'm saying? Like what's the difference? I got like 70 million views on TikTok and that's with all the bannings. In reality, it's more, but you know, he has like 6 billion. You know, Andrew Tate had like 15 billion or something, and they deleted all of it. You know, so it just goes to show you they can erase it, bro. They can erase the comedy that maybe men want to see, and then they can promote the comedy that women want to see. Now, if you told me, Marvin, on TikTok, you do have comedians that are popular with 90% men, and then you have a comedian that's popular with 90% women, then I say, okay, that's a legitimate free speech, like that platform's free. Now, I'm not saying like a bunch of hate speech like you find on Twitter either. Like I'm not saying like purposely hateful stuff, but I'm just saying, yeah, you know, but I'm just saying within reason, like you've seen the stuff I've said, man. It's not, it doesn't deserve to get banned, bro. Even now I'm a shadow ban on Instagram, you know, for hate speech. So, you know, it is what it is, man. My comedy
video. There's an agenda, I think so.
I mean, if what I think is, I don't know if it's, yeah, I guess you would have to call it that, because obviously there's people in power that own or control these websites, whether that is Instagram or whether that is TikTok, and they follow a certain set of guidelines and certain set of rules and regulations that at the end of the day, it's their prerogative, it's their company, they can follow those things. But there are certain people at a disadvantage, maybe people like you who voice their opinions about certain topics that other people don't want them talking about. Sure, of course. And so obviously you kind of take the bullet for that, you know, which in your case has been the, you know, your shadow banning and fucking losing accounts, all kinds of shit, you know. So you just got to fucking figure out how to get around their rules, essentially.
Yeah, I think like within reason, you know what I mean? Like I get it, man. Like there's content that like I find on Twitter that I'm just like, why are they promoting? Like this one account I see, he puts Adolf, you know, videos of Adolf giving a speech. I'm like, okay, like why, bro? Like why? Like why? Like, and he keeps saying nasty things, you know, full of bigotry and hate.
Yeah.
And
I'm
just like just ban like that. I think does have. It's almost like you're inciting violence towards a group without saying it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're promoting a certain set of, you know, a certain agenda, you know, that is hateful towards other people.
Yeah. Like if you're making videos about, you know, people at the border that are hunting down, you know, illegal Mexicans, and you're really low key saying it at the Mexicans. At the people from Latin America, and it's in the very vile, hateful way. By the way, it's not like a documentary on 60 Minutes. Like it's with a clear agenda.
Yeah,
I'm saying like that's almost like you're like inciting violence. So I feel like people that are inciting violence, like real hate. Yeah. But like, I think what has occurred is on both sides, like some people will be like, oh, well, that's a joke. Don't ban me because of that. But then on the flip side, there are people who work at these apps who are using that and just doing it for anything. So both sides, I think, are actually guilty, man. You know, I think both sides have abused their power, or both sides try to abuse their power. And that's just human nature, man. Unfortunately.
You don't think there's something like pulling strings, like trying to force certain agendas or trying to force certain things to for us? Like, because imagine, I mean, they say that attention is now the most valuable currency, right? So if you can now try to get someone's attention and redirect it to something else, I mean, there's got to be something that's making this happen. Because, dude, there's like, I enjoy the type of comedy that, you know, sometimes it's a little bit abrasive, you know, that it's comedians that are testing the limits, but they're always willing to like kind of like cater to men as well. Yet, if that's what's being silenced, I mean, we even look at how in Hollywood, like they're just kind of pushing a huge agenda also on like women power and unity. I think one of the latest Marvel movies like completely tanked because it was like, well, with Brie Larson, like it's things like that. It's like, yeah, like I'm for it, dude. I'm all for it. But stop like ramming it down my throat. It's like you're forcing me to see something that you want me to see. But I'm thinking like, who are these people? And what's the point? You know?
I mean, yeah, you know, another thing too, bro, is like, you know, I feel like there are a lot of guys who are not far right or far left. And like there's just guys that are married, you know, and they have a wife. They don't cheat on their wife. They don't disrespect their wife. The wife can talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like the wife's permitted to leave the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Like where the husband actually gives a fuck if his wife is happy, you know? You know, so like, he might ask her occasionally for her opinion on where they're going to dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, it's not like you're a simp if you ask your wife, hey, baby, do you want to eat Italian or Chinese? You know, well, I'm a simp because I asked my wife, because I don't want to make my wife suffer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the dark morbidity of this dorky red pill space, man. It's like, fucking like, as if like, how dare your wife be happy? You know?
Like, we can't have that.
Like, you want her to suffer. Bitch, you have to suffer. You know, like, because I'm a man. You have to suffer, bitch. Be quiet. Like, it's dark. It's dark, bro. It's dark. You know, like, there's some darkness on that side, too. But I think there's a shortage of men who are just straight. They believe in God. And they want to see their wife happy, you know, and they got friends that are Arabs, Jews, Blacks, Whites, Mexicans, Chinese. They're not racist. They're not bigot. They're just pretty fucking normal people, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's the majority. And I feel like we're being drowned out by like these tiny groups of people who are just fanatically.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I feel like sometimes the smallest groups have the loudest voices, and we've talked about it, and they take up all the oxygen. And I think most people are pretty fucking normal people, decent people. Yeah. But that doesn't get news clicks. That doesn't make the news. That doesn't get a lot of headwave. And so we see all these super stimulating and stories, and we're like, this is how people think? And the truth of the matter is, your average person does not think that way. We've talked about this before. But it's, yeah, like it's a certain set of agendas that people, a narrative that people want to promote. And it's on both sides. It's from the left, from the right. I mean, they all have their own kind of agendas. So you just kind of have to like stick to your gut. And sometimes it could be fucking overwhelming, dude. You fucking, so much media out there. No matter where you go, there's stuff. It could be fucking too much sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be probably, you know, it seems like it's pretty, like, crazy now to be dating women, you know, compared to, like, not that it wasn't crazy before, but, like, now with OnlyFans and stuff, right? Like, it's just not the, it's like, I don't know, man. It just seems like now with so much going, I'm not a bachelor. I mean, you two are both in relationships, right?
Yeah, I'm not a bachelor either.
And I'm kind of glad that I'm not. Not with like what you see online and how women are treating men now, and it's like
disgusting, dude.
Like, I don't know. I think we just kind of crossed a really bad path. And like, for example, just like I was thinking about it today. I'm like, think about it. Years ago, if a woman's nude leaked, it was like a big deal. Oh my God. It's like embarrassing. That girl's a fucking slut. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe everyone saw my tits. But now, dude, you can buy it for $5.99 online.
Yeah.
In fact, you can find it on Reddit for free. And it's like, it's more acceptable now where more women are doing it. But I don't know, maybe because I'm older now, maybe because, you know, like I'm thinking about my girl, or maybe the day I have children. Nima, I mean, you have a daughter now. Just think of like you've talked about your development and how you've changed also your mindset and how you've like grown as a man as well because of your daughter. So I'm just kind of looking at these women now that are doing that for, and I'm like, you're literally selling. Like, you would have never been able to do this in any generation, like in any era, to sell your shit like this online unless you were a porn star or an adult film star. Like, you were known for that. But now any realtor with some tits has an OnlyFans, right?
Yeah, that's some crazy, man. It's crazy.
So it's kind of scary now.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It's crazy when you think about it, bro. It's crazy. Like, I think we're all lucky that we're in relationships, right? I guess, like, we're not dealing with that, man. I guess it's another market now, man. It's another universe now.
Careful with the phone, Nima. You move it, it fucks. Yeah.
Better?
Yeah, now? Just hold it. Yeah. When you move it, it fucks up the sound.
Sorry, brother.
No, you good?
Good.
I'm sorry, you were saying?
No, I just feel like now it's a lot. You know, now being, you know, I haven't been a single man in years. You know what I'm saying? So I was in my 30s, you know?
Yeah.
I know, so.
And I'm sure, like, maybe living in Miami, it probably fucking makes it all worse. But I think what is to blame is social media. Like, women have this fucking insane mentality that they have these crazy expectations and they just don't make sense and just simply unrealistic. And it's like, they might have like fucking three kids with two different guys, but they want to be with a guy that makes fucking $300,000 a year. And it's like, what planet do you live on where you feel like this is going to be something that you can realistically find? Like, you know, like, and I'm not saying you have to fucking settle for anybody, but be realistic, dude. And so, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not just trying to bash on women because there's also some fucked up guys. I think dating in general has become like such a fucking mess. So I'm sure we're all glad that we don't have to deal with that. But some women are just fucking out of control. And it's frustrating because I see stuff on TikTok and it's like, you know, obviously we're in this space, so we were subjected to it. The algorithm kind of hits us more than maybe other people. But sometimes I see stuff and I'm like, I can't even listen to this nonsense. And I just kind of keep swiping. It's because I'm just so burned out by hearing all these fucking crazy bitches having these insane set of standards. My man needs to make this, and he needs to do this, and he needs to do that. And it's like, yo, what the fuck? You know, like, please, you know? And so it's funny because I was watching this video on TikTok, and it was an old video, Black and Gray, and there was, like, this interviewer asking people, like, the OG street interview style, if you may, and they were on the street, it was Black and Gray, and they would ask a woman, like, oh, like, what, you know, what would you want an ideal man? And their beliefs and their set of like values were so much different. Like, oh, I just want him to be hardworking. I want him to be a good father. They were asking, you know, they were asking the woman, like, oh, like, do you listen to your man? Is he the head of the household? And they're like, of course he is. And this, you know, and it's just like, it looks like it was taken on a different planet because you would ask women these things now today. Literally today, tonight in Miami, and you would be shocked by what you would hear, you know? And so this is why there's so many issues, you know, so many failed relationships, because people just go into relationships with the wrong mentality. Like that me mindset, or what does a man have to do to me? Instead of what can I bring? How can I make somebody else's life better? Instead of, oh, they have to make my life better. No, like, people need to be more compassionate. Chris, we talk to, he see about it all the time, you know, like, don't go into relationships expecting things. Go into relationships wanting to give. And if you find somebody who has the same mentality, well, you guys are in a beautiful position to water each other. And that's really what it's all about. And I think a lot of people, they have lost their mind, you know? That's just me.
I mean, I think social media glorified a lot of things for no reason. I think we had a podcast a little while ago when we talked about, for example, have you guys seen Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire? First one that came out. Nima, have you seen it?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Well, there was a scene that right after when he gets bit by the spider, like, he looked pretty muscular. Like, you see him before and after from that movie, and you're like, damn, dude, like, he looks like he's in shape. Like, the spider gave him these pounds, you know? And then now you look at that physique, and you're like, average. Loser, you know what I mean? Yeah. And back then, as a little kid, I'm like, he's so strong. But then, like, now we talk about, for example, like, if you were to watch the Olympia, right? Like, think of C-Bum, Chris Bumstead. He's got so much fame, so much attention, and I think he's also helping the sport of bodybuilding to get more attention as well. I mean, think about, like, they're massive. These guys are massive, and he's classic physique. He's not even in the open that he's gigantic, but he's still classic physique, a huge guy. And it's just crazy, like, the volume that they just continue getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's now the new standard. So obviously now you look at Spider-Man again, you look at Tobey Maguire with the shirt off where you think he looked ripped, and you're like, look at this fucking scrawny loser here, you know?
Yeah, I think it's
social media has just over-glorified. I just don't understand where these women, either they're all fighting for the same men, right?
Yeah.
Because it has to be. Like, these men have to have all this time on their hands to be able to give lifestyles to all these women to think that that's what they deserve or that's the only thing that's out there. Because, I mean, if you look at the majority, I mean, not everyone is there making that kind of money like that. I mean, Nima, maybe your circle is a little bit more affluent than ours, but for the majority, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good point, man. You know, women, men, what they want. Yeah, man, I dated a model once. Big tits, slim waist, fat ass, a good woman. And she earned more money than me. And I let her pay for everything. I live in her penthouse apartment in New York. And one day, we were in an elevator, and I asked her, to suck me off. And she said, no. I said, well, if you don't suck me off, I'm going to freak out. And then she told me that if I don't relax, we won't go to my favorite steakhouse later that night. And that was the night that I realized she controlled me in the relationship. So I waited a few years and I waited for her to pay off my college debt. Then I left the bitch. And that's actually Alpha King rule number 719. Men don't pay the tab because we're controlled by the pussy. We control the pussy because we pay the tab. I wish I could have said that in front of you guys, to be honest, man. You know what I mean? It would have
been dope. You always have something.
I wish I could say that in front of you guys. I missed
too bad.
That's why I wanted to meet, bro. That's why I wanted to meet. I wanted to do it in person.
I saw it coming.
That was probably one of your best ones.
Thanks, man. I've said that one before, but I just feel like that one is like one that I just. Like, I want to get that one across, bro. Like, that one is like, it's like a magic trick that just didn't get out yet. You know what I mean?
That was a good one. Well, that will definitely be a clip. Alpha King rules. Yeah, man. I mean, ultimately, I guess we are very fortunate enough to be with great women. Chris, you know, you have Christina right there next to you somewhere. I got my girl in the back there. You got your woman upstairs. So, you know, we're very fortunate enough to be with great women. But a lot of guys, they just probably feel lost, man. Because if I would be out there dating these women, oh, I would give up too. And I'd be like, yo, fuck. Either I'm going to be a fucking piece of shit because these women fucking really don't deserve a good guy. Or, you know, like... I can't be dating anybody because I'm not on that level, you know? So it sucks. I mean, what Chris was saying earlier, it's like the top percent of men have access to all these women. The majority of men apparently have access to no woman because they're not really desirable, you know? So I guess the only solution is to become more desirable by becoming, I guess, more successful. Because apparently that's the only thing that fucking gets these people's attention.
Marvin, put it like this, bro. Put it like this. If both of you, like, you guys are in your 20s now, right?
No. 30s.
30s? Okay.
Yeah.
We're 30. We're 30. Right, 31.
Okay. Well, check this out. If at 40, when I, you know, let's say hypothetically we're in the street, I see you guys. All right. And when I see you at 40 in 10 years from now, and you take your shirt off at a swimming pool, or even better, at like a beach, you guys look good. No homo. Because if you look good, other women are going to see you too. And I'm sure by then you're going to be more successful and you're physically fit. Then when other women, it's sort of dark, but when women flirt with you in front of your wife, that's an aphrodisiac, I think, for your wife. So like, for example, when my wife sees a younger woman, maybe make a pass on me, a hit on me, I notice that my wife is more attracted to me. You know, like she, it's like validation. Like, whoa. Like she might be angry at me about something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But then she sees a girl that's like 22 years old and, you know, somewhere in like an elevator say, oh, have a good evening or something, you know?
Something stupid as fuck.
You know what I mean? And then my wife will be like, oh, what did you mean, you two, when she said, have a good evening, you know? And it fucks with her head. But even me as a married man, one of the best things you could do is not only be successful, but be physically fit when you take your shirt off. Because that way, when your wife looks at you and other women look at you, you're still turning her off.
Well, be desirable. They see you're desirable. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, people want him.
Yeah, man.
He's still got it.
Yeah, don't lose it. Like, look, I'm 43. You know, like I'm fucking 43 years old, man. Like, you know, like if I can go and take care of myself at a gym or walk 10,000, 15,000 steps or avoid eating a bunch of Doritos and Snicker bars, you guys can do it too. You know what I'm saying? And like,
yeah.
You don't even got to, you know, the standard is so low at this point with dad bods. You don't even have to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, bro.
Yeah.
Just keep a flat stomach.
Work out, have a little bit, be a little bit lean, muscular, and that's it, dude.
Really, that's it, bro. Like, just be toned. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're just toned, in 10 years, you're way ahead of most guys, I would say, with a flat stomach. And at 40, you're doing good.
That's true. Marvin, it's kind of what we've been saying. Like, you know, we're always like, oh, you know, older men and all these things, and then we're money. Is like, in another 10 years, we're going to be those men we've been talking shit about every single podcast.
We just have to have a lot more money.
I guess we have to have a lot more money. Nima, I want to ask you, if you either had a young boy, let's say you wanted to have another child, right? Because, you know, we talk a lot about women and kind of all these things, but what about men? What would you tell a young man, or like coach a young man? And say your son, someone really close to you in today's kind of world, what to look out for, and kind of, especially, I guess, in dating, because here we're talking about like, oh, you know what, like, what should we do? Like, to your point, you know, Trish, in the next 10 years, be successful, just be fit. But in overall, based on like the whole dating climate, like, what would you say to a young man right now, how to survive through this dating environment?
Okay. You know, that's a really good question, because since I have a daughter, I don't think about that as much as I should. And I know a lot of guys would ask me something like that or want to know something like that, you know. But since I have a daughter, I guess I put so much emphasis on my relationship with my daughter, a man's relationship with his daughter. I keep obsessing over, you know, like, what's going to happen when my daughter becomes older? Are these guys going to try to abuse her, take advantage of her?
Exactly.
You know, is a guy going to call my daughter a bitch? You know, like, I'm so deep in that rabbit hole, you know, but I do want to have another kid. God willing, you know, it's in the hands of God, you know, not now, but you know, like maybe 6 months, a year. If my wife got pregnant, I'd welcome it. Right now, my daughter's one. I want to really focus on that, build my parenting skills, But I would love that. Yeah, I would love to have yeah, definitely. I think it's important to have kids.
Yeah, no, because think about it. You have like one way that you like want to raise your daughter. And like, let's say that let's say you had a son first, right? You never had a daughter. You didn't really have those like, oh, let me think about how she's going to be protected and what to look out for from men, or maybe how you used to be, right? If you had a son, you probably wouldn't have had those thoughts. Just like you said, you're down this rabbit hole. So then if you say now that you have a daughter, if you were to then have a son, or maybe if you were to coach a guy now, what are those values that you would say, or what are those things that then you would kind of like be like, hey, look out for this while also doing this? Because now that you have a daughter, you have a little bit more, I guess, empathy for the women.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some of the things I would say to my son would be, don't chase women. Let that, you know, the right one will come at the right moment. Just don't, in my experience, do what you want to do. And along that journey, you're going to meet a woman who's right for you. But don't go out of your way and don't lie and be someone you're not.
Yeah.
Like, you can lie and act like you're someone you're not, and then you get that girl. You're really excited that you lied and you acted like someone you weren't. Like, I remember once when I was younger, I lied to myself first that I'm this artsy fashion photographer guy that would want to go live in Barcelona when I was working in New York nightclubs. And I wanted to get fashion models. And I winded up getting a fashion model to fall in love with me, and I fell in love with her, and we were together. But then about a year later, she's like, well, you changed on me. She said, I changed. And now I can think about this 15 years ago, and I can look back on it and be like, it's not that I changed. It's that I was lying to her and myself and who I was. I don't give a shit about fashion photography. I did that because I wanted to get a fashion model when I was 28 years old in New York City nightclubs. I wanted to walk around New York with a fashion model that was signed to an agency in New York and Paris and Tokyo and London and Vogue magazine. That to me was the currency I wanted, because the guys I liked had stuff like that. And that was something money can't buy. And that opens up a lot of doors in New York nightlife. So for me, that was what I wanted. And I didn't have much money working in New York nightclubs. You don't make that much money compared to guys making, you know, millions, billions in New York, and New York's expensive. But that being said, don't lie to get a girl in the beginning and pretend to be someone you're not, because it may work and you get the girl you want. But then a year later, how long can you pretend to be someone you're not? Yeah. And after you fuck her for 3 months, all pussy gets old anyway. You gotta be creative, and you gotta keep pushing to get that pussy to be, you know, worthwhile. You know, I mean, any man after you fuck the same woman for 3 months, bro. I mean, I'm objectively speaking, it's not the same as right when you get her. You know, so
is it even worth it? Is it even worth it?
My daddy taught me that. My dad taught me that. By the way, my dad taught me that. And the older I get, the more I see it's true. You know, now that being said, you know, think about it like this. Be yourself, because then when you lose your excitement, you know, you can still be yourself. Just be yourself from the beginning. I knew a Dominican kid in New York, Jose Pozo. That's his real name. And he worked in nightclubs. All right. And Jose used to, me and him would briefly work together. We'd bring out models to the nightclubs. Jose would tell him, he's like, Nima, I take the girls to Whole Foods on Bowery and Houston. In Lower Manhattan. And I'm like, why do you take her there, man? Why don't you just get her fucking number, text her. We're going to take her to Catch Cipriani for dinner or something. Then we're going to go to One Oak. This is like years ago. These are the popular places years ago, right? So then like, I'm like, all right, well, why don't you just do that? That's why you're struggling to bring the models out. He's like, man, I want to meet a girl. I tell her to come to Whole Foods because I like to eat healthy. And I want a woman that wants to eat healthy. So if she doesn't like it, it's a repellent. It's a repellent. So he did what he wanted to do, what was important to him, because that was his way of finding a woman who would like him with the real shared interest that he had. I never forgot what Jose taught me. And I thought he was okay with losing women, permitted he was himself. And he liked to check him early to see.
It's true. Yeah, it's so important. You don't want to chase, you know, the woman, you know, do, or, and this goes both vice versa, but it's so important. It's, I think a lot of guys kind of forget about that. They see a hot chick and like, damn, I want her to want me. I want her to like me. But you got to do what makes you happy. And then, and that will attract people who enjoy the same things as you do. And then you can build off of that, you know, of sharing the same things that you both enjoy rather than trying to pretend that like that you're somebody that you're not. And at the end of the day, like you were saying, after a couple of months, whatever, that's just going to get real tired real soon, you know? And so,
yeah,
it is important. I think that's a good core value you want to install into in any child, you know, for sure.
So then I have a follow-up then. Because we had talked to Marvin. Remember when we had Wes on? We were talking about the list of first date ideas.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Remember? Yeah.
And we were kind of talking about like, oh, well, should the first date be somewhere where you want to really impress a girl? Or should it be like Jose Pozo, who wanted to get right to the core of it early on? Obviously, the list of first date ideas, like, I mean, I'm looking at them right now. There was a Cheesecake Factory, Applebee's, like, that kind of seems like a yo, like maybe, I guess. But I'm sure that there's certain areas where instead of you trying to like impress the girl by taking them somewhere where you're not really used to going, it's outside of like what you're willing to pay. You can't continue that lifestyle. So after the like after that date, or can you even afford to take that girl there again?
Yeah,
so it's like, why not find things that make sense for you? That way, instead of you changing or going above and beyond for someone that you don't even know if they're even worth it. If they even deserve a second date with you, you know, like value to yourself. So then I'm thinking like to your boy, he invites him to Whole Foods because that's what he likes. And if it works out, then maybe, you know, you're legit. Let's do something.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even go to no dorky place like Applebee or TJ Fridays, bro. Like, I don't even know anyone that goes to Red Lobster. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
I used to play some dorky places, but like, I'd rather take a girl to like Pura Vida, you know, or Whole Foods, or like Parrot Express, you know, like
Parrot Express, okay.
Bro. You know, eat some good food, bro. Like, you know, go get an acai bowl and apple a day, you know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, what I look like, bro? What's next, bro? You know.
So,
what are you gonna do? Take a girl to Denny's? IHOP, some dorky shit, bro.
So that, let,
we're
let
in the 1980s,
that.
Bro. You know what I'm saying? Yo.
I'm thinking this. So it seems like you're talking to more of like smaller, more craft, local spots, right?
Yeah.
You know that they're healthy because it's what you like. So we also said this because on the list it also said Starbucks. And Marvin's like, Starbucks, no way. But maybe like a local craft coffee. Yeah, all right.
Starbucks is corny, bro. Starbucks is basically like a pastry shop for adults, bro. It's so much sugar, chemicals, the simple things like the oatmeal have maybe sugar in it or some sort of chemical in it. I stay away from Starbucks, man. You know, you get older, you appreciate your health a little bit more. You know what I'm saying, brother? Like, take care of your health now. You're 30. Take care of your health now. Avoid that those nasty, filthy places as much as you can, man. You want to do it every once in a while as a cheat meal. Once a year, go to Red Lobster, fine. You know? Fuck it. But I'm just saying, like, in general, man, avoid those places, bro. You know? I mean, really, I feel like we're in the 1980s, bro. Like, we're going to go to Red Lobster, Applebee's, and then go rent a movie on Blockbuster Video. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is this shit, bro? You know, then in the morning, we're going to wake up playing Nintendo 64. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man. You know, go to Carrot Express, bro. Go to Apple a Day. Go to Pura Vida. Go to Whole Foods, you know. Get some good Whole Foods, man. Put in your body. You know?
Yeah, but you're not going to go to Whole Foods on a first date, dude. You know?
All right, fine. Then take it to some, like, Japanese spot. Get some sushimi or something. You know what I mean? Like,
what the fuck?
I don't know, bro. Applebee's? What the fuck is Applebee's?
Nah, I think that's...
Have you ever been to an Applebee's?
I worked at Applebee's as a teenager, man. You
really?
In the fucking 90s. in the 90s, bro. Like, we're 2023, man. You know what I mean? And I love their apple pie with ice cream. I'm not an idiot. Of course I love it. But, I mean, it feels good. Fucking a prostitute raw feels good. Doesn't mean it's good for me. No, but really, you know, that's what makes us different than animals, bro. Like, you know, we're intelligent. You know what I'm saying?
Animals eat at Applebee's.
Christian, you crack me up, man. Bro, shit, man.
Dude, so wait, so you've never been to a Red Lobster?
No, I like Red Lobster. Like once a year, fuck, man. If I don't mind going to Red Lobster, but I'm just at TGI Fridays on Tuesdays. Hey guys, they're gonna have some drink specials at TGI Fridays. I mean, what the fuck?
Yo, there's one on South Beach. There's one on South Beach. Don't act like you haven't been to that one. I can see it from here. Don't act like you haven't. Don't act like you've never been there.
Oh, bro, that processed food junk, bro. Don't eat that stuff, man. Now I'm talking to you like you're my son, right? Now, you want to see how I'm going to talk? Don't eat that There you go. You and Marvin just got a glimpse of what I would say.
I like it. We got a trailer.
Yeah. You literally just got what I would say, you know, if you were my younger brothers or my son. Don't eat at those places. That's where my heart is for you.
Appreciate that. I wouldn't. You don't have to worry about me going to Red Lobster anytime soon. I don't know about Chris.
I thought the next time Nemo would be here when we do an in person podcast, we could take him there, right?
Yeah.
There's other things on this list. Yo, there's Olive Garden. You prefer there?
Olive Garden.
I haven't had Olive Garden in ages.
Bro, I wouldn't even find anything I'd want to eat in that fucking... Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, the fucking veggies are probably contaminated. Like, what the fuck could you even eat there? You know, the garbage.
You could probably have a nice little Caesar salad there.
Iceberg lettuce, bro?
Yeah. You know,
like cheapest iceberg lettuce with fucking pesticides probably all... Fuck, bro. That's like fucking... I get paranoid of carcinogens, cancers, bro. Fuck that shit, bro. I don't eat none of that shit. I'm not saying I don't, but I'm just saying try to avoid that stuff.
I mean, when you eat out, it's hard to avoid, you know? I mean, all that, like, that's the risk you take when you eat out, you know? Obviously, some places are going to be better than others, but if you're that, you know, specific with your food, a lot of times, you know, the only thing you can do is eat it at home. No?
I mean, there are places that have a lot of organic stuff.
You broke up a little bit.
Here?
You hear me? Can you hear us?
Yeah. Froze. I can hear you guys.
I can hear him perfect, and I can see him.
Nah, man, there's plenty, you know, in Amsterdam.
You froze.
I think it was Marvin. Wait, hold on, pause. I think Marvin was the one that was having some issues. Because I can hear you perfectly fine. I'm looking at the menu here in Olive Garden to see what has the most amount of calories. Right, look, check me out.
Okay.
Wait, hold on, Marvin. Hey, give me 1 second. Let me see if I can share this screen. I want to share my screen with y'all. Share screen. Oh, no, I got to open my system preferences and do shit. Oh, maybe I can. Open this. Here we go. Oh, not gonna be able to. Never mind, guys. I gotta do a bunch of shit. But there is. Can you see me?
Yeah.
There is something on the menu here. It's called the Chicken Tortellini Alfredo. Asiago cheese filled tortellini, baked in Alfredo with a blend of Italian cheeses and toasted breadcrumbs topped with sliced grilled chicken. Nima, you're telling me your mouth isn't watering right now? Check me out. Only $21.49 with a whopping 1,980 calories.
That's crazy as fuck.
I don't know, man. I'll give you an idea, bro. Like, I did go to I like Cuban food. I went to a Cuban restaurant. That's one thing about being in Miami I love. I don't really have Cuban restaurants where I live in Germany. So I went to a Cuban spot. I got a sandwich. I just didn't get the bread. I got the meat. I got the cheese. I guess they put some veggies in there. I just didn't get the bread, man, because I think I was getting too much gluten. So, like, today, I went to Apple a Day. I got gluten-free chicken pizza at Apple a Day. And I think that they source pretty good products there. They have some organic stuff there. And, yeah, man, that was it, man. Other than that, I had an acai bowl, you know, like, overall, man, I just try to avoid that junk stuff, man, you know, and I think it's worth it, man. I think it's worth it to pay a little bit extra to avoid that stuff.
Better.
Or eat at home. Yeah, or eat at home. Or spend more money on groceries instead of spending more money eating out. I think that there's big W's there.
Have you been feeling better? You've noticed a difference?
Well, gluten, yeah, because you know what? I got a stool test. I took two stool tests and one stool test.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if you two have ever done that. I highly recommend it.
Oh, how does it work?
Oh, bro, it's really helpful, man. Basically, there's one way you can do it where you go somewhere, you meet a doctor that specializes, like either a gastrointestinal doctor. I went to a doctor who does integrative medicine, like functional medicine, and basically he gave me a kit. I take it home. You take it home and you get like a kit. You basically go to the bathroom, you put a sample in it, you put it, you seal it up, goes in a container. And then you ship it out. It is disgusting. It is disgusting.
You said it. You said it.
But hold on. So then after, when your results come, you get a better idea of your intestinal health, your gut health, because there's a lot going on in your stool. The same way there's a lot going on in your urine, your blood, or if you're getting a scan. So for example, I got that done and the report came back that I guess I was having too much gluten. Now I think that might've been from the bread I was eating, the beers I was drinking. So I quit the beers, but in Germany, beer is so hard for me because the beer is so delicious. Even the alcohol free, I don't drink alcohol, but alcohol free beer is so delicious. I love it. In Germany, it is a delicacy to me. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm like, all right, I'll limit that to like once or twice a month. Since I've been avoiding beer, bread that's not gluten, that doesn't have gluten, I've noticed that I feel better. Yeah, I definitely feel better, and it works. So I would recommend you getting a stool test, man, because you get a good indication of maybe what foods are working good with your gut microbiome.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's definitely interesting. Funny enough, because there's a similar way of kind of testing what your body is capable of digesting, what is your body really good with dealing with. Chris, you did it at the beginning of the year when you did the carnivore diet, where you essentially eliminate all processed food from your diet. And then after a few weeks, Chris, you know, you start feeling amazing. And then what you can do is slowly introduce, it's like almost like a process of elimination, slowly introduce certain groups of food. And you wait a few days, you wait a week, and you see how your body reacts. So let's say if you have a clean system and you're only eating raw foods and high protein, no processed food, no gluten, no soy, no dairy, none of that stuff. And then you little by little introduce certain groups of food. And if you still feel fine, if you still feel good, if your stomach is not upset, then you know that that's something that you can probably tolerate. But let's say if you haven't had gluten in 10 days and you feel great, and then you introduce it again, and you have to go to the bathroom, you're bloated, your stomach is upset. You know when someone's fucking, when something is messing up your stomach. And that way you kind of can identify what your body can tolerate and what it can't, you know? And so I guess that's like a free way of doing it.
No, Marvin, you know what? If you can, do both.
Oh, I mean, of course, if you can. It sounds probably like the stool test is probably not cheap, huh? Probably something that...
Well, the stool test I did... plus the count, yeah. I mean, it no, nah, but you could do it like under 1,000, under 800. But depends where you go. But yeah. I did another one with an Austrian company. I live in Germany, and you basically get an app, and it goes to I think University of Vienna. They have a medical laboratory where they look at it, and then they update you with the analysis and the results on
that. That's pretty cool.
Now that was only like 200 euros, which is like $215.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
And they have And they have programs like that here in the United States. Might not be the same company, but it's the same basic idea. So that's one thing. By the way, just so you know, another thing I do is today, for example, I went and got a blood test for about 40 biomarkers. I'm on a regimen now where every quarter I like to go get about 40 biomarkers tested of my blood with a company called My Life Force. And that gives me a great indication of how my body's doing. I have a health coach I can talk to on email or text throughout the week and to help optimize myself at midlife. And also there's a doctor that'll look at my lab results and give me, you know, hey, this is how you're doing with X, Y, and Z. Then, for example, on Monday, I'm going to Boca Raton to do something with Prenova. Prenova has a full body head to toe scan with artificial intelligence. That's about $2,500. I've taken my wife, my daughter, my wife and my mom. I got about $200-$300 discount on each of us because it was three of us, but it's great. If you guys have, you know, an opportunity to do it, you know, I would recommend like that. If there's an investment you're looking at doing for $2,500, that's an investment that is the best investment you could probably make right now, because there's a technology where you go in about 45 minutes to an hour, head to toe. They look at about 500 illnesses and cancers. So think about it like just proactive care. Think about it like a dental cleaning. Think about it like you got a car, you're getting your engine checked, you know, because a lot of these illnesses, if you catch it early, your survival rate is significantly higher.
Yeah, of course.
And I think another thing, we've talked about some stuff like this before, but now I'm not saying go do Prenova. There's no radiation. There's no contrast. It's an MRI scan with AI. I'm not saying go do that every fucking day, but you know, if you could do that once every 5 years, and you know, once every 3 years, or once every 2 years, or once every year, depending on your budget, it's way better than not doing it at all. And that's a pretty big thing. That's a pretty important thing to know what's going on inside your body. And then they'll show you what's going on inside of your body.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I mean, it's a lot of the stuff, bro, we've talked. I mean, if you have the resources, if you have money, you know, you can afford to get the best doctors, get the best treatment, get the best preventative care, and really know how your body works. Really, the unfortunate truth is for so many people, they can't afford that, you know? Unfortunately, but if you can, I think it's an investment into yourself, which is what you were saying.
It like checks your body live if it has all those things, or can it also check if you have like maybe like traits or maybe something that may cause one of those illnesses?
I think the MRI with artificial intelligence looks what's going on in your body at that moment. That's what I think. That's a good, I don't know, but I think I think I could ask, does it find stuff that could cause, but I think it might just look at your body at that precise moment. Like 10,000 images or more. It's like literally head to toe. Like you're going inside an MRI. You watch Netflix, you know what I'm saying? Like they got like a Netflix you can watch, you relax. But yeah. You know, but I think the cost for these things are going to go down exponentially.
Yeah, of course, down the line.
Yeah, so in like 5 years, this might cost like $500. You know what I mean? Like there's competitors. Prenova is one company. There's another company called Ezra that does. You're going to start seeing more and more people, more and more companies like this offer this service. There's another way you could do it, which is Grail, which is a liquid biopsy, which tests about 50 cancers. And that's just a blood test. And that's about 1,000. So, you know, depending on your budget, man, even though, again, bro, like if I were both of you, you know, like literally like maybe go on one less vacation in the year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years and save it to go do something like this, because it save your life.
To go away. You don't have,
there was a guy, I saw a commercial, an ad or something on Prenova's thing where there was like, it was a guy that like, he literally cleans streets. And he's like, yeah, I went and got tested, and I'll go again in like 5 years.
Hey.
But think about it. Think how much he's not probably not making that much money, right? But he made it a priority.
Yeah.
Prenuvo scan. Boca Raton.
Yep.
Huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Full body scan. You're doing it. You've done it. You want to do it. That's what Dima's telling us right now. Oh, dude, my girl, I just said it out loud, and she's like, oh, my God, I really want to do it. The thing that scans your whole body.
Yeah, I'm doing it on Monday, man. It's scary because, you know what? It's like, yo, man, like, you know.
May have seen something like that now.
Like, what are you going to do if they tell you you got something, right? It's scary. It's fucking scary. I mean, it's not like, but if you can get over that.
Yeah, but you got to know, you know, one way or another, you're going to find out anyways.
Facts, man.
Nima, we have to come to an end because Chris and I, we got to do a few things that we got to handle. But I really appreciate you jumping on, obviously, virtual, you know. Appreciate you having the time to come on and talk. It's always a pleasure. And for sure, you have to let us know how that goes, man. The full body. That sounds very interesting. And obviously, if I had the resources, I would fucking jump on that right now. But down the line, for sure, it's something to invest because we talk about it all the time, man. You only have your body. You only have your health. It's the most important thing. Everything else is extra, you know. And so you really have to treat your body in a positive manner.
I mean, at least get the annual physicals. Yeah. You know?
Physical, that I do, of course. Yeah, I do my physicals, blood work, and all that stuff. I'm on top of that for sure.
Good job, man.
Yeah, next year, what I'm planning on doing, I think I told Marvin, every odd month of next year, so January, March, May, whatever, I'm gonna do like a different diet. I'm gonna start. I always start January with the animal based diet. Well, I did it this year. I'm gonna do it next year, but I kind of want to see how my body responds to certain diets. Obviously, it's best if you wait, like you should do it for like 3 to 7 months, three, six, 7 months to really start feeling it. But I'm kind of curious, like, because I felt amazing. Marvin was he had mentioned a little bit earlier how I did the animal based diet in the beginning of the year, and it really transformed my way of thinking of nutrition and how much it impacts your body, right? And they really got me into like this rabbit hole of like learning about my health. So everything that you're talking about, it's like, we're on the same wavelength. It's but I want to see like what else could happen. So I'm thinking of doing like the animal based diet. I have a paleo also. I got keto. I want to do keto as well. Mediterranean, flexitarian. So it's gonna be mostly vegetarian, throwing fish and eggs here and there, and then vegan. Have you ever done vegan, Nemo?
Yeah, I have, man. I didn't. I don't think it's the right one for me, man. But
no,
I don't know. I think try it out. See what's for
you, bro. Everybody's different, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I turn into like this vegan, raw fruit vegan. All I eat is like raw fruits and vegetables and shit.
And you're gonna deteriorate.
Would you guys still be my friend?
Yeah.
Hey, but a great medicine you guys do already is exercise. Keep that. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Movement is medicine.
Nima, yeah. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, brother. Enjoy and enjoy evening with your family and stay Thanks, safe, bro. Man. We'll stay you, in touch.
Stay in touch, guys. Thank you very much,
you,
man.
Nemo. Peace out.
All right, peace, man.